Hello, this is Maureen Knight, and I'm interviewing Eileen Barrett and Graham Barrett. Their interview numbers are 44 and 45. We're at Bradford and Tome, sitting in their kitchen. They've got lots to tell us about Halsey, and I'm going to start it off by just asking them each to tell us a little bit about how they got into folk in the first place. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. When I went to university, another girl on my course in Freshers Week said, "I'd like to go folk dancing. Will you come with me?" So I went, and she never turned up.
So how long ago was that? Can we ask?
Long time, 1965. Okay. And it sort of went from there. And that was my...
Was that locally?
That was in Manchester.
Okay.
Me? I got into folk dancing through the Morris dancing. And I used to belong to a folk song club in Redditch called the White Hart. And for some reason, a few of the guys decided to get together and do a Morris dance for a Christmas party. And they asked me if I'd like to do it. And for some reason, I still don't know why I said yes. And it started a spark. And I just found out where the other local clubs were after we'd done this this Morris dance at Christmas, which turned out to be bean setting all dances, of course.
It's done frequently now.
Mm. And I then joined the Jockey Morris Club and danced with them for a few years. Got into what was called Cayley dancing, but not as not what we'd call Cayley dancing now. It was just a night out dancing, really. Mm. And got in that way.
Was that how you met each other?
We actually met at Whitby Festival.
As many people do.
So, I was friends with one of the jockey musicians. So I was there as a musician. Graham was there as a dancer, but we didn't actually meet until we got to Whitby.
Because at that time I wasn't into folk dancing per se, so they had all their rehearsals for the folk dancing side of jockey, and I just went along for the Morris. So it wasn't until we got to Whitby Festival itself we actually made the contact.
And what year are we in now?
72.
Yeah, 72. Good year, 72.
And I'm assuming that your commitment to Halsey started sometime after that?
Yeah.
How did you get involved there?
Well, I knew about Halsey Manor because I'd already been with the Gifford Morris Dance and Sword Weekend when they had a family weekend down there. So I'd already been to Halsey before I met Eileen. And before we got married, I think. I can't quite remember. Yeah, and I didn't like the Manchester, moving up to Manchester, because I lived in Bromsgrove, which is just near Worcester, and I was looking for somewhere to go. And all of a sudden, in one of the EFTSS magazines, which Eileen was subscribing to, I wasn't a member at the time, there was an advert for staff at Halsey Manor. So we applied.
And your first impression of Halsey on that day when you went for your interview?
It was chaos, actually.
Washing up, I think, was the first thing.
It was midsummer when we moved, and they had a big dance upon the tennis courts. And also, the first person we came across properly was Francis Pook. Have you come across Francis?
Have you not come across Francis Pook? Oh, God, yeah.
He was the gardener.
You have missed out somebody, haven't you?
Would you like to elaborate on that?
He was a character, let's say.
Yeah.
His bedroom was the summer house.
The little summer house, the thatched one.
Yeah, the thatched one. We used to call it Pookie Hole.
Oh, right.
Because that was where he...
That's where he lived, yeah.
We found out the first time we went out with Pookie down to the Karoo.
Yeah. We never tasted cider before.
We didn't realise that he actually can get quite drunk on half a pint. And coming back, he kept saying, "It's amazing, there's not as many bends on the way back."
He had an Austin Cambridge, and he took us through the back way to Halsey, down around the, from Halsey.
What sort of age was he?
Oh, he must be...
He's still around, I think.
He's about 80, in his 80s now.
Yeah, I imagine so. He lives at Burnham, or did.
Yeah.
Did you have an interview for the job?
Yes.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah.
Yes, that was before we married.
Well, yeah. Who was that with?
David Huell.
He was the manager at the time.
David
Huell.
Okay. W-H-E...
W-E-L?
Yeah.
I'd like to find that one. And was it a formal interview, or was he interested in whether you were folkies or whether
he wasn't actually a folkie himself. It was, can we do the job?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Yeah, I think he was pleased to get a husband and wife, wasn't he?
And we came as general assistants, really. But for some reason, there was a lot of cooks that didn't last very long. And suddenly one day we hadn't got a cook, and that's what I did for the rest of the time there.
So how many years were you?
We were just there a year, but it was a very full year.
It certainly was, yeah, certainly was, yeah.
Yeah, we met Gibby Swain, because she was one of the cooks.
And of course, she, were you one of the a cappella singers for her?
No.
Because she in her interview, she talks about how they used to sing while they were chopping the vegetables.
Oh, yeah. Right, did you? Oh, yeah.
I possibly was, but not deliberately.
You probably never noticed that. Yeah. Yeah.
And what sort of jobs were you doing?
Me, I was just general assistant, helping with the washing up, vacuuming the place, just any odd jobs that needed doing, which was great. We used to work mornings and have afternoons off, didn't we? I seem to remember then work evenings.
Well, yeah. You might have done think I was cooking.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And did you live in?
Yes. But talking about the washing up... David had two sons. We've got three sons, but two were living in the manor. So they helped with the washing up as well, simply so they could have a pot. The washing up lasted about 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
It was a bit more relaxed in those days.
No washing up machine, it was just all by hand. Yeah.
So where were you doing the washing up?
Where the gents' toilets is now, downstairs, just outside the... the washroom. It used to be a washroom there.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we lived in, it was room 16 at the time. And then
it's up on the top?
No, it's on the ground floor. Is it the
next
office?
To the
is
safe.
It still the office?
Yeah, it used to be the office downstairs.
15 and 16 are up on the top.
Yes, they've moved everything round.
So so that would be the room which is Viv's office now?
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, well, our bedroom was the little offshoot.
It's got a double
bed
in
there.
The back.
Yeah.
And that was our bedroom.
Oh my goodness, it's so tiny.
Yeah. But just, it's a comfortable bed.
That's right, yeah. Okay. We didn't fall out of bed, that's for sure, did we?
That'd be far too where to go.
And it was... I think it was in there, without realising, that we first became aware of the ghosts.
Would you like to tell me about the ghosts at this point? Because nobody's told me about
Nobody said about ghosts.
Not to me.
Well, we were... We didn't think much of it, but we used to wake early every morning. We're not early risers, but we woke early every morning. And then one winter evening, no guests, and we were all the staff were in the hall, big fire, mm-hmm. and we got onto ghost stories and stories about the ghosts of the manor.
As you do.
And apparently our little room was the kitchen, and the ghost of the cook was supposed to come early every morning to light the fires. So that was our first ghost.
So I didn't sleep for 2 weeks after that. But after a while, I didn't bother.
And I'd always been uneasy, sort of putting the coffee out in the hall when it was just me, there's nobody else around. I felt I was being watched from the top of the stairs. And apparently there was another ghost there. And these ghosts, they told us about them without us saying anything.
Yeah.
So, and there's another one. There was a minstrel's gallery. As you walk in, if you look up high, there's a...
Where the organ was.
Yeah, that's it.
There was actually a minstrel's gallery, and people have heard music there.
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you must have been asleep at that
point. I must have been asleep.
Graham met a ghost in the loft.
Well, I didn't meet a ghost. I just felt very cold and very scary. But that might have been just me being silly.
But
the guy who put the TV aerial up didn't have any problems.
But yeah, there are quite a few ghosts around.
Allegedly the white lady, isn't it? So,
yeah.
The other one, yeah.
There's always a white lady.
There's always a white lady.
Somebody sang me a song about a white lady. and another interview.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was our
ghost stories.
Our ghost stories. Right.
Your musicians, you haven't. You mentioned that you were playing music.
Yes.
Were you getting opportunities to play while you were there?
Well, yes, we used to just have, like, if there were no guests in, the staff would get together and have a mini dance.
Yeah, we did. Again, with Francis Pook as well. He's a very keen dancer, Pook. I'm assuming he's not as keen as he was. But he was a very keen dancer.
And there was also the local band, Brute Force. If you've come across Brute Force.
Do tell me about Brute Force. I've heard it mentioned. I'd like to hear your version.
Brute Force originally was Ryan.
Ryan Heaton. Yeah, is this picture?
And allegedly four sets of spoons. 40, wasn't it? Everybody played spoons and Brian played badly. But by the time we were in the area, people were learning to play instruments. Brian was still leading. And it really was just come all year.
It really was, yeah.
But what he intended it to do actually happened. He meant it to form, eventually, people learning the instruments and form their own bands, which we did, didn't we?
Yeah, and a few others did as well. So, you know,
You already played, though, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's already played.
You haven't told us what you played.
I play piano accordion.
I play the baron, I call quite a bit as well.
Are you still playing the spoons?
No, I've never played the spoons.
Spoons era.
I've never been a spoon player. I've played the melodeon for the Morris, but that's all I play, which is probably enough, really.
Going back to the kitchen, there was a tame pheasant called Cocky.
Just one.
And he came to the kitchen window every morning for his breakfast, and occasionally, not deliberately, but occasionally, he'd come into the kitchen. Health and safety was out the window. There wasn't such a thing.
The pheasant was out the window.
And well, he got into the long room one day.
Did he? I don't remember that.
And of course, it'd been polished. He was sort of trying to round him up to get him out again. Just
that,
sliding everywhere. It might have been just the kitchen people.
I'm peeling potatoes. That was another one of my job, peeling potatoes.
Yeah, by the bucket.
Mm.
And the room on the end, next to the kitchen, that we call that the rumpus room. I don't know if it's still the rumpus room.
It was the billiard room, wasn't it, when it was a big house?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's likely to become a dining room under the new plans. And I always get the name of it wrong, but I think it's the Marsden
room.
It was Rumpus Room.
It was just a local, I think, local staff
and
room.
And it was just a staff room.
But it might have been Marjorie and Donald Hunt who came up with the Rumpus Room name.
Yes, they'd not long left.
Yeah. But all the staff called it the Rumpus Room.
Mm.
So that's what we call it as well. And we had a dining table in there for the staff.
Buffet in there.
So how many staff were there?
Varied.
Yeah, it did vary.
There was ourselves, Cynthia. Well, at times, they're just the three of us, wasn't there?
Yeah, there were, yeah.
But we used to get young girls come in and help, like,
for their summer holidays.
Yeah. Cynthia Ellis, we talked about this. Cynthia Ellison was the only permanent staff member of Park Muster, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Who lived in all the time and lived away. Again, occasional girls came in from the village. Occasional girls came.
And ladies, Mrs. Rexworthy.
Oh, Mrs. Rexworthy. Mrs. Rexworthy.
They'd come and help with the bedrooms and
whatever. Yeah, that was
so
usually, how many guests would you have in that?
60 was our top number.
Yeah.
Multi-occupied rooms.
Yeah.
In theory, but like the Morris weekend, we had bodies everywhere. I don't know how many were
there. People on the floor.
Mm-hmm. They're just people in the long room, people in the... Everywhere.
In the tower, the little room above at the end of the long room, the hall upstairs. Over the gate, over the entrance, there's a little room in there, the box room. I don't know what there is
waiting
now.
Waiting to hear what you call it, because I've heard it called three different things. Have you? Quite different interviews.
Well, I haven't even thought about it.
I don't think we had a name for
it. I think so.
The managers had that room.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was a they were Heads and Tails, and in the village, in various pubs, villages. So, yeah, that was about 60 plus, wasn't it, that weekend?
Actually, think about when we had 60 in, officially had 60 in, we did actually house some down in the at the Carew.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. I think we had 40, was it 40, a house full?
Possibly.
I think we had 40. Was,
and this is before the news was born.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. There was nothing in the Mews. I forgot who lived in the Mews. Who lived in the Mews?
The old head teachers.
Yeah, I've got the photo.
I think it's on here, isn't it?
Yeah, probably is.
We've just found this. It's
this was inside. It's just folded up inside.
History of ownership. We didn't know we got it. Francisca Wilkinson.
Yeah, that would be about right.
That's the manor, that was.
That's the manor. But I can't remember if she was involved. Anyway, the four head teachers had the match and news between them, whatever the names were.
Yeah.
Did you get any opinion from them of what they thought of the focus?
No, they kept very much themselves,
Actually. I mean, I think they didn't have any problem with it unless anybody parked a car in front of their drive, which I think most people would probably do it on the evening or whatever. But... we just said hello to him over the wall, so to speak, if we were in the garden, and they said hello, how are things, and that was it, really. I never ever saw them, to my knowledge, in the manor, in the 12 months we were there.
I guess they must have seen quite a few things happening on the door.
Yeah, well, they could look over it, they look over it, don't they? So, they
so
could
did
probably...
the croquet lawn belong to them still, or was it part of them?
That was always the manor, as far as I know, the croquet lawn,
because it was used on open day.
And for playing croquet at the time.
Yeah, we did play croquet as well.
As far as I know, still do.
How are the tennis courts and the, the little house that's up there?
The summer house, yeah. Summer house.
How was that used when you were there?
The summer house was starting to fall apart, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I remember the first weekend we were there, we had this midsummer dance, and the dance was in the tennis courts, so everybody had to trundle up there, and they were having an outside bar. Or a bar in that little summer house. So it couldn't have been totally falling apart.
But it wasn't actually used as tennis courts.
Oh, no. I've never known it. Never known it. My recommendation, they should build a swimming pool up there. So.
It's going to be used for glamping.
Oh, right.
We're going to have some yurts up there.
Oh, right.
That'd be good.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Built on site.
Why not? Yeah, nice flat area, actually, isn't it? Yeah.
It will be the main campsite area for the new plants.
Oh, that'd be good.
They used to camp in the water garden, didn't they?
Yeah.
But, other things. We didn't have Halsey Folk Dance Group. We had Minnie's Mob.
Millie Chidley.
She used to live down near Stigumber somewhere, I think. Was it Croken Farm? I can't remember. Over that neck of the woods, anyway. She was a farmer's wife. And she was ever so nice. She used to come down every odd Wednesday, or I'm assuming the same week night she moved meet at the moment. And she would just call the dancers, didn't she? Yeah. She wasn't a call.
What was her surname?
Chidley. Millie Chidley. Yeah.
Was hers the farmhouse where brute force practiced?
It's Ray's parents, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was Ray's, that was, yeah. They might, I'm not sure. Yeah.
It wasn't Millie's, no. It wasn't Millie's.
No, it wasn't Millie's. No, it was Ray's mum and dad. I remember them very well.
When did she learn about dancing? It was happening by the time we arrived.
Yeah. I remember Pookie saying, oh, you must get Millie's.
Loads of people came from all over the place.
And Millie used to come and call. I can't remember if we called or we played. I remember the first time I ever called was at Halsey Manor, because Arlene wouldn't come in the long room.
Tell us about that.
I can't remember very much about it, actually. I really can't. Apart from the fact that I think it was probably something like Bridge of Athlone. It was the fact I was getting up there and talking, you know, which was always very difficult to some extent. I still find it difficult sometimes. But I can't remember the dance at all. I think they might have had a guest caller's night or something like that. And I picked up my card or whatever and I called a dance. And that's the only thing I remember about it, really.
Not looked back since.
Well, something like that. I've looked back quite a few times, actually. Oh, dear. So, yeah. We used to have little the four staff members used to do a bit of play fit on a Sunday night sometimes after the guests had gone.
We knew all the two couple play for dancers.
Yeah. Heartsease and Parsons Farewell and things like that. Didn't we? And, things like we've got this little record player or something like that and play the tunes. Taunton D. Morris had its embryo start at Tawsey as well, because I started teaching one of the West Somerset guys how to double step, or I seem to remember. A guy called Dave Lee. And one of the Huell lads got interested in coming along. Whatever happened, we started off as a separate entity in Taunton X number of... Well, it must have been the same year, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Same year later.
I've got these notes here, jumping around a bit. But,
didn't you, man?
Going back to taking over the cooking, I had never cooked before.
Not at all, not even as a student.
Out of a tin, out of a packet. I was never taught to cook. Because I was academic, I wouldn't need to cook. It was a bit short. We had a house party for 2 weeks. And it, in many ways, it's lovely. It's early music. Mm. And the weather was bright, the windows were open, there was music everywhere constantly.
Mm, it was good, yeah.
They had vegans with them. For 2 weeks.
I guess you learned quite a lot about
that. Steep learning curve.
So what sort of, can you remember what you cooked?
I got very good at celery hot pot, I know that. I don't know what else I did.
Lessons.
Probably nut things. And
I brought this book down, but Eileen's probably still got her original notes from probably Halsey on a book, and it was how to boil potatoes. And it was literally how to boil them by the bucket load, you see, because he wasn't boiling it for, two or three people. It was
serving large numbers.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you've still got it, have you?
Wow.
Boiled eggs.
Isn't that amazing? Things...
It's interesting
that you ended up as cook, having never cooked.
There was nobody else to do it.
There was nobody else to do it. That was it. Bang, there we go.
Boiled potatoes, one bucket small, does 30 people and staff. So there you go.
And was there waitress service in the way there is now?
Yes.
Was that the local girls doing that?
Yeah, mostly the local girls.
I've done waitress.
It was just all everybody muck in, really.
Yeah.
And so what else have we got? Oh, yeah, this other thing that... Yeah, so I don't know if you're interested in that.
And Eileen's showing me a sheet of paper, which is a history of the ownership of the manor.
It starts pre-1066.
Which I would like to borrow and copy, or you could copy and send it to the manor, whichever.
Who copy it?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you probably want to lose that, do
you? I only just found it. I didn't know we had it. I don't know where it came from.
Well, it was in there.
It was in here. Because...
And there's also a book, a published booklet here on Halsey Manor. Do we know what year that is?
No, I was trying to find a date.
It's after we left, certainly after we left.
Bruce, it's published by Bruce Green and somebody else.
Bruce and Pepsi were managers later on, and it was while they were there. And we actually put some walks together from the manor.
They may well be the same ones.
You never know, do you? Probably are. There's one there by Ron and Coral Charles. You may remember Ron and Coral. Yeah.
I remember Coral.
Yeah.
Chris and Barbara West, we actually did a lot of them together, but they've credited one to us and one to them. So you can borrow that.
They've separated and divorced now.
There's all sorts in there, apart from the walks. An introduction to Halsey and its history, etc.
Excellent. So I'll hang on to those. We're having on my list.
Okay.
Have you been to Halsey recently?
No, we haven't actually, to be honest. No.
We stopped going when our daughter took up Irish dancing and her practice night was the same night as the Halsey group.
Okay, because they have an Irish weekend there every year now, which is very, very popular.
Yes. I suppose we've been for the odd.
Well, the last time I went was the Morris week at Morris Cayley at 40th, which was two years ago.
Yes, it probably was.
So horses really a dim, distant memory for you rather than something that's vibrant in your lives now.
It's one of those things you talk about, but it never quite happens because I don't really dance anymore.
But you play?
Yes.
Having said that, whenever I do go to Halsey, the building feels the same.
It still feels like going home, even though it's a new year.
Put one of these strange people in there, you know.
It's a very important part in your life, early life.
Oh, very much so. Yeah,
it's our first home together.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So what did you? Why did you part company with that? You just found other jobs,
I don't think we'll go there. I don't think
it was a difficult parting, really, but. Probably something to do with us and something to do with the manager, but it turned out he had...
You don't have to talk about it.
Okay, I don't think we should go there.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So,
do you want... Oh, yeah, something that you wouldn't get today. We had a very good relationship with the guests, usually.
Yeah. So a very, very informal relationship.
They were prankers and we would prank them. And
they were playing tricks on each other.
Yeah.
I'm sure you still do it today, don't you?
I think one of our highlights was... what's his name?
Ted Hutchinson.
Yeah, no, what's his son's name?
Paul.
Yeah, it's Paul's dad, Ted Hutchinson. Went to bed one night to find his bed had been actually moved into the bathroom.
Upstairs. Into the bathroom at the top of the stairs.
And so that was sort of thing that went on.
Was that staff that did that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Staff. And we had a very
relaxed... He gave us a hard time, we gave him a hard time.
It was very relaxed. And he just said, oh, and when he went to sleep there, I think.
He did. Stayed,
Was that the big bath? The huge bath?
They're on the top of the stairs.
Is it still a bathroom? I don't know.
Things
have moved around.
There's no baths.
As you went up to the top of the stairs, it was straight ahead. There was a bathroom
there's
there.
There's no bath in there now. I was wondering if it was the party bath down opposite 12 and 13, because there used to be a huge bath in there.
Where's that?
I say everything's moved.
We probably everything moved around. Yeah. We used to have two rooms downstairs, didn't we? On the ground floor, didn't we? Was it room 30? Can't remember now.
Yes, next to where the gents' loos are, there were two.
There's one of the sides. As you come out of the lounge, there's a door not at a right angle, but slightly at an angle. That was room. And there's another room on the left hand. You go through the door on the left hand side, and then there's a door on the right into the room, the downstairs room.
Something else we got up to as staff was again, there was no health and safety then, but we used to go up on the roof if there were any events on.
And
spectate from the roof.
It was very good actually.
It's really nice.
Nice photographs.
Because the roof is sort of got gullies, and so you can walk along them. It's not like trying to walk on slates.
Yeah. No, you didn't walk on the slates. And you can actually come out above, again, behind the turreted area on the gate. On the gate there, it's going to be very nice. I think we had chairs up there, wasn't it?
We did, yes.
We
have a terrace up there.
Yeah,
really
nice,
yeah.
Was there water in the water garden?
That was one of our projects. We didn't half work at that. No. We never quite succeeded.
What were you hoping to do?
Get water in the water garden.
fill the pond.
Sort of line it and all sorts
they
of stuff.
They couldn't spend money on it.
It was just the staff doing what they could, really.
It was quite...
I think we sort of worked out how it was supposed to go, but we never quite got there.
Mm. I'm assuming there's water in the...
There's no water in the water garden.
No.
Always used to leak away. Always used to leak away.
Anyway, I'm going to have to leave you to it. Okay. There's not much left on the list.
Okay. Well, unless you want to walk.
Thank you so much for having time to talk now.
Well, it's unfortunate. I mean, you were in the diary first.
It's not how it is, and I understand that.
Yeah.
So... I can remember how to pause this. I could pause it, but I can't.
Don't worry.
Let's just keep talking.
Well, it's fairly relaxing to me, isn't it? Let me see what's holding that down here. One of my main jobs used to be polishing the long room floor, which the manager used to love, but the dancers used to hate. Because, as you can imagine, and it was always a bit of an issue. Can't you do something about it? Going, well, I can do, but best to do is have a chat with the manager. And again, being non-folky, he couldn't quite understand how such a floor couldn't be kept up to this beautiful sheen that they're all on the floor.
Dangerous.
Yes, it was dangerous, yeah. Always remember that. And after a while, I managed to get some polish that didn't slip or something like that.
Were people eating in the long room?
Oh, yes, yeah, very much so,
the
yeah.
Table
yeah, yeah, there was all the regimental table moving. And the other interesting thing, I don't know whether they still do it, the manager and his family used to eat on the dais on the side of the long room, which is always kind of slightly a bit pretentious. But,
not at all.
You know.
Nobody lives, they all live off site now.
Yeah,
so
do they?
There's
oh, right.
No management living in.
Oh, I see, right. Yeah.
Mm.
But, linseed oil in the panelling was always a big job, which the staff used to look forward to, I think. They used to get all the linseed oil out and all go around.
And this is the panelling in the lounge? Everywhere?
Everywhere, yeah. They used to go around everything, yeah. And it used to smell deliciously of linseed oil for few days after that.
How about cleaning the chandeliers? How did you manage that?
To be honest, I can't remember. Unless it was just a high duster or something like that. But I can't remember.
Were you in charge of light bulbs?
If necessary, yeah, from time to time.
That's an absolute nightmare. They go so quickly.
And I remember you had to get this special type of light bulb, which had the twist on the top. Not the base twist, but the actual decorative top on, which they would just have a nightmare getting those from somewhere in Willington, I think. I can't remember.
Mm.
Yeah. We did do another prank, which I've just remembered, which was against the staff in actual fact. There was a horror film came out about the 1970s. I can't remember where it was now, what it was about. It was wasn't The Exorcist. It was something like Alien or something. I can't remember now. It's one of these big horror films that came out. And one of the girls, the staff girls, went to see it and she was jumpy. So we put the bust of Cecil Sharp in her bed one day.
Did it used to live on top of the
carpet? Yeah, we got it downstairs and we put it in her bed and just put the cover over it. Poor girl nearly had a heart attack.
You can't remember who that was?
No, I can't actually.
It would be interesting to have her view on that.
Yes, I bet, yeah. Yeah, I can't remember. She was a village girl, I seem to remember, but she did live in. Isn't that funny? Just came back to my mind when we were talking about it then. Yeah, it's the only time I've ever used the Cecil Sharp bus for anything else.
I think he gets decorated at Christmas.
Yes, he does, yeah. Yeah, he's been around a bit. Yeah. It was always nice chatting to Bill Rutter as well when he came around. And the other guy was Dave Gaylor. He used to be another one of his friends used to come around to them on the committee.
What are your recollections of Bill Rutter?
Bill Rutter? Interesting character, really nice guy, jovial guy. Tell you exactly what he thought of something if he didn't like it. But no, I had a great respect for Bill and Terry, his wife. Although she was against Bill, she was kind of a diminutive, really, the nicest possible way. But he was very. He wasn't Pete Shuttler, or one of the editors, I can't remember now, who said his initial standing for war, WAR, William Arthur Rutter, which just about sized him up in a good way.
What vision.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
We wouldn't be having this interview 50 years on.
No, absolutely not.
If Bill hadn't had that crazy idea to buy the man.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, it's, no, I had a lot of time for Bill. He was a nice guy, a very nice guy. But you knew, you knew exactly where you stood with him. He'd always say hello to you, you know, there was never any pretentious about him. Nothing pretentious about him, he was very nice. Yeah, we played at his garden years ago. They used to have Kayleys every month in Devon in his, I forgot where he lives now, or lived. But anyway, we went and played down there every couple of times and had a couple of nice times down there. I interviewed him once for What's a Foot.
And What's a Foot's the local folk magazine?
Yeah, the local Devon folk magazine, yeah. And I might even have the invite interview somewhere. I went down much the same as you're doing now and just chatted to him, you know. And it got published over a couple of times, I think. I'll see if I can find it.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Because that would be worth adding into the archives. Yeah, of course, it's got a huge archive.
Oh, I bet
all
now,
sorts
yeah.
of stuff.
God, yeah, I bet. God, blimey. That's about...
How do you think Horsey affected your life?
It's been a great part of my life, actually. Even though I was only there for 12 months, as Arlene said, it was a very intensive year. And although we went out on a little bit of a downer, it's never been the manor's problem fault. You know what I mean? It's never been.
You look back on it.
You look back on it.
Arlene said, "Is home from home."
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. It's great. It's always been there, although we don't go as regularly as we have done. We know it's there. I drive past it on numerous occasions as part of my job, you know, and I always have an affectionate glance over the Horsey when I go past. So it's a good symbol and encouragement, I always think, for the future as well. It's great, as far as I'm concerned, in my old age.
Perhaps when you actually get some time, you may have time to go back and look at some.
Well, it's not far off now. Not far off now. So. Yeah.
So can I thank you both? Eileen's had to go out, but can I thank you both for giving your time to give this interview, to make part of the patchwork of the picture of what's gone on at Horsey over the last 50 years. And I just need to say something that I didn't say at the beginning, which is Eileen was born in August 1947 at Douglas in the Isle of Man, and Graham was born in June in 1948 at Bromsgrove. I should have said that at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
But that's just so that people looking up later on can check you out. And I'm going to stop the button there.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.